We'd like to thank everyone for joining us tonight. My name is Brother Tommy Brooks. I'm the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. This is our first ever gospel meeting via conference call. To those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are a very honored guest, and we thank you for joining our call. You are a VIP, a very important person to us. We put this call on with you in mind. We believe that the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. And we believe they're honest and sincere people who are seeking the basic truths about their salvation, about saving their soul. And so we're thankful to have you on the call tonight. Our visiting brothers and sisters in Christ in various congregations across this nation, we thank you for your support. We pray you edify through this message. Let us go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for this day and you've given us, and thank you so very much for this avenue that we're able to preach your gospel, share the truth about you, your love for the world, your son's love, and as a suffering Savior that shed his blood and wash our sins away and purchase his bride, the church of Christ. We pray for our visitors that they have an open ear to hear and to receive with meekness your engrafted word that's able to save their souls. We pray for our speaker tonight that you would be him with him as he brings us a message from your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight I'm excited to have Brother Don Blackwell. Brother Don Blackwell as our guest speaker tonight. And, I spoke today, and I'm so happy to know him. I've heard him many times on the GBN and Global Broadcasting Network. He's a very sound preacher, and I reached out to him and accepted my invitation. I'm so thankful he has. He's worked with the Global Broadcasting Network since inception and has served as the executive director since 2010. He also served as a minister of the South Haven Church of Christ. Thank him so very much for joining us. We thank you for being on this call tonight. Brother Blackwell will speak regarding the truth about true worship. Brother Don Blackwell from South Haven, congregation. Brother Blackwell.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
It is so very good to be with you tonight and to have the opportunity to talk about the subject of true worship. You know, there are few things that are as uplifting to a child of God as a properly executed worship service. The worship of God edifies us. It brings us joy. It strengthens and encourages us. In fact, sometimes a Christian will get to a point that he's tired. Maybe he doesn't feel like coming to worship, but he pushes himself and he goes anyway because he knows he should, and when he gets there it just refreshes him and he's so glad that he has gone, because worship is kind of like a clinic. It's kind of like a haven. You spend your week around people in the world, maybe who are ungodly, who don't care about spiritual things, and it can be very discouraging. But you come to a worship service and it's a time to be with people of like precious faith who care about what God wants, and it helps us understand why the Hebrews writer in Hebrews 10:24 said, "Let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." That is, when you assemble for worship, he says, don't forsake that. But you know, not only is worship important to us, worship is important to God. And so God has given the subject of worship a lot of emphasis in the Bible. In fact, the word worship appears in one of its forms 191 times in the Bible, 113 times in the Old Testament, 78 times in the New Testament. And so if God has spoken about it nearly 200 times, it ought to be evident to us it's important to him. And so we're going to talk about it tonight, the truth about true worship. Now, if we're going to understand worship, we need to begin by defining the word worship. Webster's Dictionary defines worship this way: to adore, to pay divine honors to a deity. The Greek word for worship is the word proskuneo. Literally, that word means to kiss toward. It means to do obeisance, to prostrate oneself, to pay homage, or to show deep respect. I think there's a good picture definition. Sometimes you hear a definition and you're kind of lost in it, but when you can see it in action, it helps you understand it. There's a good picture definition of worship in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9, because the devil comes to Jesus and he says, "I will give you all the kingdoms of the world and all of the glory of them if you will fall down and worship me." Now, can you picture that in your mind? What is Satan wanting Jesus to do? Satan is wanting Christ to fall down in front of him and treat him as one who is worthy of honor. He's wanting him to pay tribute as a great one. That's worship. Now, how did Jesus respond? Of course, Matthew 4:10, Jesus said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Jesus said God is the only one who is deserving of worship. Now, that's very interesting, because in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10, there is a leper, a man with leprosy, who comes to Jesus, and he worshiped Jesus. Now, think about that for a minute. Jesus said only God is to be worshiped, and yet Jesus accepted worship. What does that tell you? This is kind of a side subject, but it teaches us that Jesus is God, because he could be worshiped. Now, here's something we need to understand that's important as we introduce the subject of worship, and that is God is very jealous about his worship. Do you remember when God gave the children of Israel the Ten Commandments? One of those commandments, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, the Lord said to his people, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them." Now listen to this part. He says, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." Now what does that mean? God said, don't make idols. Don't worship an animal. Don't worship an image. He said, because I am jealous when it comes to worship. Now, did the Israelites obey that commandment? No, they didn't. In fact, oftentimes in the history of Israel, we find them hitting spiritual low points and worshiping things like the golden calf in Exodus 32. They made a golden idol of a cow, and they worshiped it. In 2 Kings 21, we find man worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars. In Acts 17, we find people worshiping idols and graven images and false gods. In Acts 14, we find people even worshiping other people, worshiping human beings. But it's interesting, all throughout history, mankind has worshiped something. God has created us with a built-in desire to worship. God put it there. Now, atheists will deny that. Atheists work hard to overcome that, but you know, really, atheists are worshipers of something, aren't they? Maybe they worship the earth, maybe they worship knowledge, maybe they worship themselves, but they worship something. But what we learn from ancient Israel is that not all worship is good worship. Now, tonight, our subject is the truth about true worship. Now, friends, this is a very important topic, the truth about true worship. Let me emphasize those last two words, true worship. In the Bible, there are four different types of worship that are described. Now, I'm going to list three that are not good, and the last one's going to be true worship. Now, we're talking about the truth about true worship. Here's the first type of worship described in the Bible, and it is what the Lord calls ignorant worship. You read about this in Acts chapter 17 and verse 23. The apostle Paul was in Athens. He had gone to a place called Mars Hill. Apparently, Mars Hill in Athens is a place where people gathered together and they would just talk about interesting ideas and they would philosophize together. And Acts 17:21, the Bible says, "For the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to tell or to hear some new thing." And so they would just talk and they would listen and, you know, they were the intellectuals of the day. So Paul took advantage of this, and he stood up in Acts 17:22. It says, "Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very superstitious.'" One version says, "very religious," too religious. He says, here's the reason, Acts 17:23, "For I passed by, and I beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" He says, "whom ye ignorantly worship." He said, "him I declare unto you." And so Paul said that mankind could be guilty of worshiping, but it's not true worship. He said it could be ignorant worship. Now here's my question for you. Could mankind today be guilty of ignorant worship? Well, sure we could. Anytime that people today engage in acts that God hasn't asked for, just because they believe that's what God wants, well, that would be ignorant worship. It's worship, but it's not what God asked for, so it's ignorant worship. Now, a second type of worship that the Bible describes is something that is called vain worship. You read about this in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. Jesus said about the scribes and the Pharisees, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Now notice that, in vain they do worship me. Now we're trying to decide what is true worship tonight, but Jesus said they were guilty of vain worship. Now the word vain means empty, worthless, or meaningless. So Jesus said they were engaged in empty worship. They were engaged in worthless, meaningless worship. And so that's not true worship, but mankind had done that and can do that. Now, what they had done is they had corrupted true worship by adding their own commandments. Now, listen to this, because Jesus continues. He says that they were worshiping with their lips, but not with their hearts. Listen to Matthew 15:9. "This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And so he said they're saying one thing with their lips, but their heart's not really behind it. They don't really mean it deep down inside. And verse 7, he says they were hypocrites. So if you say one thing, but you don't really mean it, you're a hypocrite. Now here's my question. Is it possible for mankind today to engage in vain, empty, meaningless, hypocritical worship? And of course the answer is yes, of course it is. Think about this. If a person comes to worship God and he does it with his lips but not his heart, is it still vain worship? Yes. Does it go any higher than the ceiling? Friends, it does not, because God will not accept vain, empty, meaningless worship that your heart is not really in. I want you to think about this. If a person comes to a worship service and he sings, "All to Jesus I surrender all," but then he doesn't give as he's prospered, what would you say about that? Friends, that's vain worship. Why do I say that? Because he's saying one thing with his lips, but his heart is not in it. Because he's singing with his lips, "I surrender all," but he doesn't back it up with his heart and his actions. How about if a person comes and with his lips he sings, "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer." And so with his lips he said, "I want to be like Jesus, this is my constant longing," but then he doesn't come back to services on Sunday night. Friends, is that vain and empty and meaningless worship? Is that a person saying one thing with his mouth, but his heart and his spirit are not involved in this? Absolutely it is. And so mankind today can engage in ignorant worship. Mankind today can engage in vain worship. A third type of worship that is described in the Bible is something called will worship. W-I-L-L. We're talking about man doing his own will. You can read about this in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23. Will worship means it is self-devised. It is self-chosen worship. That is, I'm going to do what I want to do. You might say that Cain, the brother of Abel and the son of Adam and Eve, is the first example of will worship. Because you remember, Cain offered to God in worship what suited him, what suited Cain, not what God asked for and not what God wanted. God said, I want a meat sacrifice. Cain said, I'm going to bring you wheat because that's what I want to do. It was will worship, popular type of worship today, because the world today is big into the entertainment factor. I remember being in the hospital one day, and I was visiting a man, and I introduced myself, and I told him where I was from, and he said, you're from the Church of Christ, Church of Christ. He said, oh, you're the people who don't use instruments. He said, I can't attend there, he said, because I love instruments. What was he saying to me? He was saying that worship is about what I want. Now, friends, we got to think about that. Are we giving God what he wants, or are we seeking to have true worship? If I'm giving what I want because I like it, that is what you call will worship. I was listening to the radio one day in my car, and I heard a commercial. The commercial was talking about the great music and how entertaining the event was going to be. And I truly thought that they were going to say that the circus had come to town. And when it got to the end of the commercial, it was an invitation to a denominational worship service. And I was taken back for just a minute, but then I thought, you know, this is will worship. This is telling people you're going to have such fun. We're going to give you what you want. But what we're saying tonight is this: God's way is the only way. So there could be vain worship, there could be ignorant worship, there could be will worship, but the fourth type that we're going to talk about tonight is true worship, the truth about true worship. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about this. John chapter 4 and verse 23 says God is seeking true worshipers to worship him. Now, for true worship to exist, there must be three things present. Number one, you must have the right object of worship. Number two, you must have the right attitude for worship. Then number three, you must have the right acts or actions in your worship. Number one, for true worship to exist, you must have the right object of your worship. Now, the proper object for true worship to exist is God. John 3:23 says God is seeking true worshipers to worship him. If you worship Buddha, or you worship the earth, or you worship the trees, or whatever it be, anything other than the true God of heaven, you are not a true worshiper. Secondly, for true worship to exist, you have to have the right attitude. That means your heart must be in it. John 4:24 says that God is seeking true worshipers to worship him. He says it must be, verse 24 says it must be in spirit and in truth. And spirit means your heart is in this. Your mind is in this. Now, let me explain what we mean by this. Sometimes a person could sing, worship God in song, and when he gets done, he thinks he's truly worshiped, but maybe his heart wasn't in it. Maybe his mind wasn't in it. Maybe he says a prayer, which is an act of worship. He gets to the end and he says, amen. But maybe during that prayer, his mind was everywhere except in worship. Maybe I'm sitting in a worship service on Sunday morning, but mentally, I'm at Longhorn Steakhouse ordering a Parmesan-crusted chicken. You know, I'm not thinking about what I'm doing in worship. My heart and my mind and my spirit are somewhere else. You see, I don't have true worship. I might be doing the right things, but my spirit isn't involved in this. True worship involves worshiping God in spirit. Now, consider this. The text says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. Our worship must be spiritual. When I can transition and worship God with my spirit and really focus my mind on worship, I've got the idea that a lot of distractions in the worship service would go away. I've sometimes have had people tell me about all of the distractions in worship and they couldn't pay attention. And I had somebody tell me on one occasion, they said, during worship service, they said, there were some people in front of me and one of their children pinched the other one and that child got mad and he slapped the other and then he took away his fire truck and then the mom turned around and she spanked the child and they went on and on. When they got through, I thought to myself, where was your focus? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people can't be distracting and I'm not saying that there are legitimate things that hurt our focus. But what I'm saying is, if I'm really concentrating my heart and my spirit and my soul on my worship, many of these things will go away. Number one, we have to have the right object, that is God. Number two, we have to have the right attitude, that is, I worship God in spirit with my heart and my soul and my focus and my mind. Thirdly, true worship involves the proper acts, A-C-T-S, the proper actions. John says that we must worship God in spirit and in, listen, truth. In truth means as he has specified in his Bible, in the New Testament. It means we worship God according to the truth. And so if I can't find it in the truth of the New Testament, then it's not true worship. Now, God has specified five acts, five avenues for worship. They are prayer, preaching, the Lord's Supper, giving or offering, and singing. Anything other than these five acts is not worship. You know, sometimes people talk about the, quote, worship service, and they think that anything that takes place from 10 to 11 a.m. is worship. That is not the case. Only those five acts constitute worship. Friends, announcements are not worship. In fact, a lot of things that take place during that period are not worship. We are not free to pick and choose what is worship. I don't get to decide what to offer God in worship. God has said, here are five things, and that's all. You know, there is an idea that has been popular in recent years that suggests that everything we do in life is worship. Sometimes Christians even buy into this. And I think the reason people like that idea is because if everything we do is worship, then we can do anything in worship. My wife and I used to attend a congregation that during Sunday morning worship assembly, some of the ladies would go into the kitchen and they would be preparing the afternoon meal. And I questioned the leadership about this, and I was told by one of the elders, Don, there's a lot of other ways to worship God than in the assembly engaging in those five acts. But you know what? That's not right. He was wrong about that. Now, there are other ways to serve God, but not all service is worship. Listen very carefully what I'm going to say. All worship is service, but not all service is worship. Let me say that again. All worship is service, but not all service is worship. The idea that all of life is worship is simply not true. You know, if I'm washing dishes, that's not worship. If I'm taking a shower, that's not worship. If I'm watching TV, that's not worship. There are five acts that constitute worship in the eyes of God. Anything else, we might call it worship, and it might be vain worship. It might be will worship or empty worship, but it's not true worship. True worship is directed toward the God of heaven. It involves me worshiping in spirit and according to the truth. All right, let me change gears for just a minute and discuss some things that will enhance our worship to God. Is it a right thing to do to try to improve or enhance our worship? Of course it is. We want to be as effective and faithful when it comes to worshiping God. Does the method matter? Yes. I'd like to suggest to you three things or three ways in which we can make our worship as pleasing as possible to God. Number one is preparation. we should prepare for our worship service. It is good and it is proper for every congregation of the Lord's people to have someone who plans the worship service ahead of time. That would include an order of worship. That would include who's going to serve during worship. Remember, 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. And so we want to worship God that way. We should also make individual preparation for worship. That means those who are serving publicly should make preparation. If you're reading scripture, don't let the first time that you've ever read that be the first time you get in the pulpit. Look at it. See if they're difficult words. Make sure that you're doing the best that you can. If you are leading in a prayer, give some thought ahead of time to what you're going to say. Sometimes people even write down the words to their prayer. And sometimes people say, well, I'm embarrassed. I wrote it down. I say, that's great. You've made preparation before you worship God. If you're leading singing, have your songs picked out. Know how they go. Make sure that they are scriptural. Those are good things. Secondly, we can enhance our worship by participation. Now, number one, participation demands that we be there. Number two, participation demands that we take part. That's what participation is, isn't it? I have preached, I guess everywhere that I have ever preached, there will be someone who will come to the worship and they stand there, but they do not sing. That is so strange to me. We need to remember that when we come to worship, we are not the audience. God is the audience. And we are there for the purpose of worshiping Him. I heard an old gospel preacher one time make a very interesting observation. He was talking about whether it's appropriate to have hand clapping in worship. But listen to this quote he said. If there is to be applause in connection with our worship, let it be by God. He is the only audience. All of us are participants. And I think that is so good. A third thing that will enhance our worship is purity. Now, we can enhance our worship with purity, number one, by following the pure New Testament pattern. Secondly, we can have purity by trying to maintain a pure and reverential atmosphere. When we come to worship, we need to keep in mind we are presenting ourselves before the God of the universe. That's why I find it very sad that we live in a society who no longer wants to dress up to come to worship. People in the past have dressed up to come to worship because they said, I'm coming into the presence of God. I want to present the best presentation that I have. Now people are more concerned about what is comfortable than they are the fact that they're coming into the presence of God. Psalm 89 and verse 7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all of them that are about Him. We should also make sure that our lives are pure. If our lives are not pure, then our worship is going to be hindered. In James 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so what if you're not righteous? Well, then it's going to hurt your prayer life. Psalm 66 and verse 18, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. 1 Peter 3:12, Peter said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. Friends, we want to get worship right because it matters to God. And some worship doesn't go any higher than the ceiling. As a matter of fact, it disappoints God. Now, as we're nearing the end of our time tonight, I understand we're supposed to end at 9:30. I want to take just a moment and say to you the most important thing to your worship being accepted of God, number one, is that you enter into a right relationship with God. That is, you're cleansed of your sins, you become a child of God, you prepare yourself to worship Him. Tonight, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you are in a situation where you are lost in your sin. The only way to be forgiven, the only way to be sure that you will avoid hell eternally, the only way you can be sure you're going to go to heaven is by being washed in the blood of Jesus. The way you do that is by obeying the gospel. by hearing it, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Romans 6:3-4 tells us that we are buried with Christ in baptism. That's where we're washed in his blood, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. If you've joined us tonight and you need to obey the gospel, if you need to be baptized, we encourage you to contact us. You can call us at the South Haven Church of Christ. You can visit our website at southhavencoc.org. You can also visit us at the Gospel Broadcasting Network. You can look us up on Facebook at Gospel Broadcasting Network. You can look us up on Instagram at The Authentic Christian. Or, again, you can go to our website for GBN, which is gbntv.org, and we would be delighted to follow up with you. Maybe you're here and you say, I just want to learn more. I want to have a Bible study, maybe over the phone. We would be delighted to do that. We do that all the time. Again, you can reach out to us or the good brethren who are hosting this program. We thank you for tuning in tonight, and it's a pleasure for me to be a part of this telephone gospel meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Blackwell. We are very, very thankful for the simple message you've taught tonight on true worship. So our visiting friends and loved ones, we thank you for tuning in. As I said in the beginning of the call, we put this call on with you in mind, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We want you to know what true worship really is, where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. We pray. We take a collection. We take communion every Sunday, not only the first Sunday of the month, but every Sunday, every first day of the week. And these are the acts. We preach from the Word of God. And we're in our services or want to be pleasing to God and provided Him as an audience a worship that's in spirit and in truth. Perhaps you're in a church that sings mechanical instruments music, don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Think about the things that have been said tonight. You don't want to fall under vain worship or will worship or ignorant worship. Brother Blackwell has done a wonderful job of telling us tonight what God expects from us as worshipers. I know there was a time in my life when I believed in God, but I did not understand true worship. When I visited the Church of Christ, I was in a dark place in my life, and I heard the story of the gospel, of the Savior on the cross, shedding blood, that will wash my sins away in baptism and purchase his church, which is Church of Christ. And in that service, I heard a cappella singing. I heard preaching straight from the Bible. Those things attracted me. I'm looking for those people like me who want to do it to please God, but most importantly, to save our soul. And that's why we put this call on with you in mind. Brother Blackwell has done a wonderful job, not only edifying us in the churches of Christ, but to our visitors. You too. We want you to be a part of true worship. You can reach out to Brother Blackwell. He's giving you this information. Certainly he has this lesson and many others on GBN, and we would encourage you to go and listen to more of his messages. He's done some recent ones on quarantine worship. Is COVID-19 the end of the world? That one has been very popular among GBN. Is it the end of the world? Brother Blackwell done a wonderful job on speaking on that subject, and we encourage you to go to gbntv.org and listen to his messages. I feel blessed tonight to have thousands of listeners on the call. Our goal was to take our gospel call to a national level. And I'm proud to announce tonight we have accomplished our goal of having a national gospel meeting via conference call. And because of that, I am very thankful to announce that we have many of our states on the call: South Carolina, North Carolina, Texas, Nevada, California, New York, we have Alaska on. We have all of these different states represented tonight: Arkansas, Oklahoma, Illinois, Tennessee, Mississippi, and the list goes on and on. I am, if you can't tell in my voice, I know this is the first ever gospel meeting via conference call, 20 days, 20 speakers, and 20 powerful, consistent sermons. Men that I know are true men of God and men who believe that the Bible has the right answer. We have hundreds of brothers that I know on my list of preachers that have joined us on this call. Unfortunately, we can't get everybody on. But these brethren, I want to thank you all for supporting our call. I want to thank the congregation of the Church of Christ for supporting our call. And I want to especially thank our visitors who are on the call tonight who are not members of the Church of Christ. If you want to get baptized, let us help you get to obey the gospel so you can be washed in that blood of the Lamb. You can get back with the person who put you on the call. You can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will ensure that you get to a sound congregation, get you baptized and into the Lord's church, and you use the rest of the month to introduce your friends and family to these basic. We're trying to go back to the basics: the truth about baptism, the truth about the sinner's prayer, the truth about what true worship really is. Does it include mechanical instruments and music? Should we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? These are things that we're going to be talking about. Should you be baptized again? And I'm encouraging you to join us every night. We have intentionally repeated the same topic on each night of the week for the month of May. So if you're struggling with baptism, join us on Monday night. If you're struggling with sinner's prayer, Tuesday night, Thursday night, the true worshiper. And, of course, we are trying to reach those who are seeking. I know this. Jesus said, "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth." Don't miss this part. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. It's one thing when you're looking for God, but it's another thing when God sees you're seeking true worship and he seeks you. At that point, he provides the truth to you and gives you the will, the free will, to make the decision to obey that gospel. Thank you, Brother Blackwell. I certainly appreciate what you've done for us tonight. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks. If you want to call me directly, that's okay. My number is 281-750-2702. We're asking the members of the Church of Christ, please give us feedback via nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. At this time, I'm going to bring our host minister on, Brother Anthony Flounder. He will give us the upcoming speakers and topics. And he has some words of encouragement. At that, we'll close with my assistant minister, Brother Horace Rao, the minister of the Church of Christ in Highland Heights. And he will have our closing comments. Brother Flounder.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. I appreciate it. And I want to thank Brother Don Blackwell for that fantastic lesson on the truth about true worship. We appreciate Brother Don Blackwell and wish him well and many blessings for him and his family. We have a fantastic speaker who will close out this week, this second week of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We'll have Brother Al Washington from Luling, Texas. who'll be speaking from the topic, The Truth About Salvation. We will announce our speakers for week three on tomorrow night, but we appreciate everyone who continues to support this gospel effort. You are hearing sound doctrine, doctrine that can be read in the Bible. It's in the tradition of the apostles. This is the doctrine that Christ died for. It is the doctrine that we preach today, and it can only be found in the words of inspiration, His Holy Bible. We ask that if you are not a member of the Church of Christ, we beg you, we implore you, by the commandment of the Lord, we command you, obey this gospel and be baptized according to what Jesus taught and His apostles instituted in the New Testament. At this time, I turn you over to Brother Horace Stroud.
Thank you, Brother Flunder, and thank you, Brother Don Blackwell, again, for sharing your word, the word of God, in its simplicity, sharing with us the truth about true worship, understanding that, as you shared in your message, 78 times worship is mentioned in the New Testament. That shows to us the importance of it. But not only that, understanding from your lesson, Matthew 4:9, that God is one that's worthy of honor. And so our assembling is to honor God for what God has done for us in offering His Son for our sins. And so we understand also that there are four types of worship. Only one is pleasing to God. My worship can be ignorant. My worship can be in vain. I can have willed worship, but the only worship that is pleasing to God is that which is true worship according to the scriptures, John 4:23-24. I understand from your lesson tonight that the Father, God the Father, is our object of worship. However, in our worship, our attitude, our spirit is important. And also our actions must be in truth. And not only are you sharing those things with us as to introduce worship to those that may not be members, but then also I appreciate reminding me of each Sunday, those that are members of the Lord's Church, there ought to be preparation. It doesn't start on Sunday morning. Preparation starts could start the day before me preparing myself for worship. Also, when I attend worship, my participation in worship, am I actively participating in worship? And then also the purity factor. And I appreciate the fact that we follow the New Testament, but also we do those things to try to have a life that is pure, according to James 5:16. So those things are necessary. And again, for those that are not members, as you taught so well in Romans 6:3-4, it tells us how to enter into a relationship with God. We must imitate what the Son did. He died for our sins. We died to sin. He was buried in a tomb. We are buried, but this burial is in water, liquid. A tomb, and then we understand that Christ rose from the dead. We rise to a newness of life if one wants to become a Christian. Thank you, Brother Blackwell, so excellently and in his simplicity shared those things from the Word of God. At this time, let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come again. Dear Lord, just thankful for another night that you've allowed us to hear your word. We thank you, dear Lord, for those that have the heart, dear Lord, that your word has a way of drawing us more toward spirituality, centering our lives on Christ as opposed to the world. We're thankful for your manservant in his simplicity in sharing those things that we can read in the scriptures, dear Lord, and also share with us about worship, whether I'm outside the Lord or in the Lord, still the lesson was taught in its simplicity. And dear Lord, we hope that those hearts that Jesus said that are good and honest and that are seekers, they will follow up with those that invited them on the call, dear Lord, that they can be added to the Lord and the kingdom of God's borders will be expanded by entering into the hearts of others. We just thank you again, dear Lord, for all that are on the call, those members that are supporting the message, those our VIPs, those very important persons that may not have obeyed the Lord yet and become Christians. They are our very important person. And thankful for all that are on the call tonight. I'll pray for the congregation in South Haven, the Lord, that Brother Blackwell will, the Lord, you'll keep his health, that he can continue to do those things that he's doing. We thank you again for all your many blessings. This prayer we offer. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Let us all say amen.
Thank you, Brother Stroud. And we want to say to everyone, we are so thankful to have you on our call tonight. Please make it your goal to make 20 days, 20 speakers and 20 sermons. Invite your friends and family to hear the basic truths as the scripture outlined as it pertains to our salvation. We know this. No one disagrees that we will die. But Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. To our visitors, please consider things we're saying tonight. True worship is in spirit and according to the truth. It is our prayer that each of you have a great night's rest. Join us tomorrow night. Brother Al Washington will speak on the subject, the truth of our salvation. May every one of you have a good night's rest.